Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Yeah, we here. Yeah, little pre-pod intro. You know, I got to talk to the family. Hopefully you guys enjoyed your Christmas. You had, you know, a bunch of loved ones around you. Y'all was kicking it. And if you didn't, hold your head. You know what I'm saying? Christmas is not, you know, it's just about being alive, you know, and enjoying it, whether you by yourself or you with your loved ones or whatever. But yeah, shouts to everybody, and you guys, especially the listeners. So really quick, you know, I wanted to kind of talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, me, the podcast, and kind of where we're at a little bit. After 135 episodes, you know, this thing has come a long way. And we started out on a Samsung Galaxy S7. And some of you guys know that. Some of you guys are new to the pod. And you don't know that, you know, the earlier episodes, everything before episode 55, I believe, that was just off a cell phone. So I, you know, we did that. I wanted to make sure that A, people would sit down with me, and B, I could create this dialogue that listeners would tune into, because nowadays there's, you know, podcasts with people who are celebrity. There's, you know, music. You could put on like Joe Rogan. You could bump some Sauce Walker. You could put some Luther Vandross on. You don't have to listen to Art and BS. So I wanted to prove to myself that I could make that happen before I really took a big, you know, chunk and invested into this thing. So boom, that happened. Y'all rolled with me, y'all rock with me. So we invested, we got, you know, $2,500 worth of equipment, you know, and then that way we could really try to take this thing to the next level. And I feel like we did, right? So, I mean, some of the things that I've done on this road, if you guys didn't know, I'll lie, you guys know. But I mean, it's been a working hobby for me, because that's what this is. It's a hobby. But I mean, that was a good one. Okay, I had a brain fart, you guys. So, you know, I've been basically bootstrapping, and that's taking money from my painting career and putting that into the podcast. I mean, for example, I made the mistake of not realizing that there was, like, I thought cell phone were just like wherever you lived at, you could just call a dude as long as he had an iPhone. And we did this episode with John Dalton called $500 Episodes. And the reason it was called that is because Sprint charged me $500 for that phone call. And right after the episode, they smooth cut my phone off, y'all. And then I had to figure out how to sell paintings to get my phone back on. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things I've experienced, is just little interesting stories. Hold up. So yeah, don't call Ireland for an episode. And if you are, use Zoom. But, you know, just that, traveling around LA, Seattle, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, you know, Santa Rosa, car, you know, renting cars, gas, all of that stuff, we're footing the bill. And the only way that I'm really able to finance this stuff, you guys, is by selling paintings, right? So, because we have, you know, the cats over on Patreon. Shout outs to you guys. I clear about $30 a month off of Patreon, and 20 of that goes to, for me to be in this art group, this like real cool art group that I need to, it's, you know, helping me to get in some galleries and stuff like that. So I'm clearing about $12 a month off Patreon. Shout outs to y'all. But the thing is, you know, we're kicking in and we're making this stuff happen. So my thing is if you guys have like a dollar to tip your podcaster, that would be dope. Like PayPal or Cash App or Venmo, whatever, you know, works for you. That's all we're asking for, is just like a dollar. So if you enjoy the music, if you enjoy the interviews, you know, those graffiti writers that you guys like so much. And the thing is if we were able to get a dollar from each listener, then we could get some of these people who have agreed to the podcast, because some people I don't want to do Zoom episodes with. And I'll tell you a few people who've agreed to the podcast. On the graffiti side, right, for the graffiti writers, Vic20 has agreed to do the podcast. Chris DTC has agreed to do the podcast. Apart from FGS has agreed to do the podcast, right? Messenger from the Lord's Crew has agreed to do the podcast, but it's just getting to these guys. Quake, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, man, that Quake, I've been waiting for that one. So, on the fine art side, Todd M. Casey, he agreed to do the podcast, you know what I'm saying? So it's, Tony Sarah and I, oh my God, we not agreed to do it, but it's like, you know, I want to do those episodes right, because come on, man, if I'm going to get a Hove feature or like a Jay-Z feature, I want to make sure that the beat is on point. We in the right studio, like everything has to be on point. You guys saw the DJ Qbert interview, and that was one of those situations where DJ Qbert and Cope 2 were both coming to Fresno for a jam, and I'd reached out to both of them. Cope 2 said yes to the interview. DJ Qbert said yes to the interview. The jam couldn't afford to pay the talent, so then they didn't come. And then, and so Cope 2, it's like, he's down. I just got to, cross paths with him to get the interview, because we need to sit down and chop it up. And that's legendary, right? And then DJ Qbert, the only way that we could do that was Zoom or phone call, because those were the ways that he wanted to do it. And, I don't have good internet, you guys, so shout out to Vikin Masoyan, you know what I'm saying, my nigga? He was like, yo, man, I want to hear this interview so bad. I got banging internet, slide through, come to the crib and do it. So we go, to the spot. Qbert wants to do the interview at 9 at night, you guys. So I get over there, 6 o'clock, we're setting up, testing Zoom, everything, and I call Qbert, 8:30, hey man, we on pod? Like, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? We on pod time? And then he said, dude, I have a family emergency. We got to push it back until midnight. Right? So I could either tell this legendary DJ, like, nah, man, or I could just sit my ass right there, watch the Boondocks, and then wait until midnight and do this episode. So that DJ Qbert interview, we started at midnight. We ended it like 2-something in the morning. And then that's not even, and like 3 days of research, the way I was able to come with that was like mad research. So a lot of these like interviews, when you hear me interviewing Clown and I'm asking him about all this stuff, or I'm interviewing Ewok, that's like 2 or 3 days of research, you guys. So I'm just telling you what kind of goes into this stuff. So when I ask you for this dollar, right, you can kind of see like, oh, James isn't on some bum stuff. He like, this nigga's working. Like, I'm actually, we move, and I'm doing all of the, wearing all these hats. And we're not even going to talk about the Art and BS group show and all of the hats that I wore for that. And we'll get to that later. But, I'm just asking you guys for help. A dollar, man. Like, if you hear an episode and after you get done with the episode, you feel like, man, that was worth a dollar, that experience was worth a dollar, man, if you guys could shoot it over, it'd change your brother's life, man. So yeah, other than that, I do have new block prints for sale, the gramophone and paintbrush joints, cut the lino cut, and we'll talk about all that in a later episode. I might do like a video or something. But if you guys are interested in new clothing, I've made some new shirts with the design on them with the gramophone and paintbrush. So we have hoodies, and I'm doing cropped crew necks for the ladies. Ow. And we got t-shirts also. The t-shirts are in like olive green and gray. The hoodies are gray. And then the crops are also, they're like a gray. So if you guys are interested in purchasing some artwork, then that's cool. Because, I never try to ask you guys just like give me stuff. Even when I did a fundraiser, it was like donate and you get something. Because, yeah. But it's, my whole thing is really trying to do everything, like next level. And we're wearing a lot of hats. And I'm doing the best I can. So, I appreciate your support. You guys are rolling with us for 135 episodes. Hopefully you have a great new year. And yeah, man, we're about to get into it. Three fantastic artists who I have a pleasure of showing with in Fulton Street Coffee. Oh yeah, and also the closing reception, if you were in Fresno, is going to be the 29th of this month. The 29th of December, and then the 14th of January, if you're in Indianapolis, I have my solo show at Hoy Polloi Gallery. But yeah, that's enough of me, you know, ranting and raving. I appreciate you, family. Yeah, man, we gonna make it, man. You know, one way or another, in the famous words of, I forgot who sang the song, but keep rising to the top. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, in the famous words of the Macho Man, the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah, brother. All right, man. I love you guys. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you on the other side.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Okay, I guess we're going to start.
Yeah, listen!
Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Let's see. So we're here for another episode of the Art and BS Podcast, the podcast by artists, for artists, and art lovers. I am your host from the West Coast, James Geralds, broadcasting, where are we at? Fulton Street Coffee in the gallery space, curated, you know what I'm saying, by your boy, second annual Art and BS Podcast group show. Holla back.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Let's get some housekeeping out the way. Shout out to the cats over on Apple holding us down. Hit us with that subscription, that follow. Cats over on Spotify. We see you at the, what is it? Oh, yeah, it is the end of the year. It is the wrapped up. You know what I'm saying, man? Hold on. I can't even drop to you guys all my files and my stuff. Let's keep it going. Post that. You know what I'm saying? The stats and all that. We appreciate you guys. Shouts to the UK. Shouts to the Netherlands. Australia. I see you in Japan. We appreciate you guys holding us down. Miscellaneous listeners on the web. Yeah, man. We see you guys. Keep tuning in. Took the plugs off and made myself a plug. But this episode is sponsored in part by Widow's Walk Tattoo. Get some fine ink on your skin. You tired of cats coming through, you know what I'm saying, giving food staph infections, saying it's allergic reactions to ink? Go to Widow's Walk Tattoo. You tired of cats doing stencils on the back of your neck and then the ink blowing out? Go to Widow's Walk Tattoo. You tired of going into somebody's baby mama den to get your your rib piece done? Go to Widow's Walk Tattoo. Holler at Jason Graham and Laura Graham. They got that flash art on deck. Man, listen, y'all know how we do it. Illustrators in the building. So, also, you know, if y'all in Fresno, get some Tioga Sequoia, you know what I'm saying, some beer from them. They sponsored us with some drinks. The guests have already, you know, they've been killing them because this is the Broadway episode. Hold up, man. First time listeners, I know you guys are confused. James got a lot going on right now. Returning family members, I gotta get my record right, y'all.
You saw me just get out of the whip. We here.
Ill nigga alert. You know what I'm saying? For real. Let's go.
Hear the wailing mothers, the grieving sisters.
We are back. You know what I'm saying? For another episode, we here. Let me turn this up so I can bump this. This is hard right here. Podcast family, where you at?
We started off as targets. We had the Congress mad at the whole genre.
All my painters, I see you. What y'all on? You got that acrylic? You got that gouache? You got that watercolor? All my bombers, keep it lit.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Set my Timbos next to my dresser with the Nintendo, and yes, the
extendos
on the AK-47
is wrapped
in the dresses of Invo. Yeah. It's time to move something. I guess we missed our window to try to prove something. Spot a whack producer from across the room. Walk
here
up to him, smack his hookah across the moon.
Talk about it.
Break a platinum plaque over a rapper back. Go and toss that bitch into a dark lagoon. Mm-hmm. Go into the heart of the art form with a harpoon. They ain't skilled enough to stay in the field with us. You gon' have to retire. It's only like 4 or 5 of you rappers who can actually inspire me.
Beacon was popping. Jason Graham, I see you. O'Neal Scott, what's up? Russell Harris was popping.
Trying to get to you before you can brace yourself. Cause I'm trying to put your ass in a body cast.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all niggas lollygag. Not me this season, I'm with the biggest spenders having the most prestigious dinner.
Inspiring me right now, man.
Checking with suspicious fictitious sinners. I'm a living legend, you a fidget spinner.
Turn me up.
I'm getting chatted, they trying to catch up to my past M's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting better quicker, trying to catch up and pass M's. I'll be blacking out, you can ask them.
Smoke it if you got it, sip it if you got it, you know it's really popping.
Everything I wear be tailor-made to fit. Giraffe
it's that Royce the 5'9".
Like everybody out here right now wanna be pop. While I'm zoning, stirring the pot. I'm about to go so
get
motherfucking Lamar Coleman. It's about to be disturbing to watch. While I'm out here swerving the drop. Your favorite rapper about to get cleaned up. Served in a box like laundry detergent.
About to close them out, you know what I'm saying?
Trying to stay in a genius creative state of mind.
Got the RBS collective. We ain't behind ass corny. You know what I'm saying? We shutting down all these art collectives. Man, we just a group of people with paintbrushes. You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure it out.
We keeping it cheap. We keeping the iron out. They feed negativity. We eating vagina while keeping it dying. We turning the streets. Detroit to a D-Zoo, eating while we feed people to lions. The dude that I bought with me, psycho and schizo. He think that he loop. He like to lift you and make you skywalk. You don't wanna play with none of his make-believe truth. He'll make the iron speak too. Look through the art, too, D-Too.
What you smoking on? You got that pen? Y'all rolling up white papers? You know what I'm saying? I heard they discontinued backwards the flavor joints out here, so they'll be selling Diamond and Swishers. Man, oh my God. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna keep going. Let's keep going, man. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Music that glorifies.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Yeah, we here. We back. Episode 135. Doing whatever I gotta do to stay alive. Don't let that go over your head. Play your position. You know what I'm saying? Check the composition in your mock-ups. We cooking like a potluck. You know what I'm saying? For real. Once again, shouts to ladies breaking hearts and breaking pockets, securing bags and popping tags with luxurious thighs. I see it. Entrepreneurs, keep that schedule filled. 9-to-5ers, keep those AirPods in so your boss ain't tripping. You know what's really good. Bump sauce walk a ghetto gospel 3. You know what I'm saying? We here. I'm trying to take notes. I need a new bench. I need a whole new team. We accepting applications. We taking choosing fees. You know what I'm saying? I'm playing.
Don't need no blood in my state.
Bringing it back. You know what I'm saying? Like Twin Peaks, man. Come on.
Pay me on Thursdays, don't be late.
Shout out to all the artists, whatever medium you choose. You doing tattoos, you sign painting, you know what I'm saying? Rocking them acrylics, you on your ceramicist grind. All my photographers, I see you. You know what I'm saying? I still don't trust nobody who drinks Americanos. You know what I'm saying? Brothers are scarred out here. We're going to get to that later. Okay, we're gonna close y'all out. Take them home, take them home, take them home.
Art and bullshit.
Take y'all home, take y'all home, you know what I'm saying? With this, the god Fahim, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't even know about that.
I got my mind made up, wherever life takes me, I'm going by. Life will leave us both blind, going eye for an eye. I try to maintain quality, but evils love to show up. Nah, I done got used to them devils, it's still a glow up. They can't stop this, they try and top this. Watch this, I add another stock onto my watch list. How preposterous, in my old with the nonsense. Lay some vocals down to get some words up off my conscience. I play the long game for the ones that short term. I keep a long aim as I let my torch burn. Ain't with the small games, I just live, love, learn. I just live, love, learn. I'm rich, young, and black. They
want to
take it back. A man that wears many hats, they gotta pay me in tax. I expand on many tracks in this land. So many pretenders executed by the axe. Wax for many reasons is more. When I wake to start my day, got today's problems adding on with the yesterdays. Seems like 365, we've been caught up in this maze. Time waits for no man, so I'm going out. You can depend on me, I'll never let you down. And that's my word. No matter what occurs, the dreams that get deferred from darkness, we emerge, get ready for the purge. Seen a lot of destruction, we caught up in this storm surge. Flip you like a Belgian rifle, no need to buy from my squadron
right
to get hostile. Turn you into a fossil, I'm titanium colossal. So
God
my words
fighting.
Be like the gospel. Staying on righteous time, rhyme, holy apostle. I'm free of minds with mine, line for line. Say a prayer every day, my people live in the skies. I got 16 for a sucker trying to stop my shine. I'll bring it to your door like Amazon Prime.
Some phenomenal artists in here. We're gonna really get to it. Yeah, man, I ain't gonna hold y'all, man. I ain't even gonna hold you.
We just gonna use that as is.
Yo, my grandma bumped this shit, bro. That ass.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Let's get to it. Episode 135 of the Art and BS Podcast. All types of debauchery. Four artists, three microphones. I'm going to tell you guys, I couldn't get GarageBand to record all four inputs, so we were trading off. Vekin had one mic, and then I tried to give Jason Graham a microphone and then trade off with Robert Amador, but Jason Graham was, you know what I'm saying, he felt like, you know, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to buck the system. So, you know, we all kind of switching off microphones and stuff like that. Special shout outs to Laura Graham, you know what I'm saying, for copping that painting. Oh, man. Jason, Laura, I love you guys. Y'all are like some real G's. Yeah, let's get to the podcast. Anything else I want to say? Y'all get up. I'll be cool.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Oh, man, listen, we spanning generations out here, you guys. I should probably turn this mic down. Okay, there we go. We spanning generations out here, and this is episode 135 of the R&BS Podcast. So, yeah, you looking for quality ink, hit up Widow's Walk Tattoo, and we're going to talk about that in a second because we got triple threat. We have a three-headed beast. We got multiple generations of a fine art establishment filled with nothing but debauchery. You know what I'm saying? And some crazy stuff from drawing to painting, draftsmen. I think that all three of these individuals deserve an introduction. So we will start from the furthest. You know what I'm saying? Man, listen, the Abbot of Acrylic, a maniac with the monochromatic painting. Listen, you guys seen this man's work all across billboards. The marketing campaign, the lifeblood that flows through the veins. Hold on. Listen, you've heard him on this podcast a few different times. Solo with his partner in crime out of Arizona, James Martin. You know they went to college out there. You know they kicked up dust. We're going to talk about him designing monuments. We're going to talk about him winning the man, what'd he win? Oh, yeah, the Sorensen's black and white painting competition. You know what I'm saying? He took first place in that. Heavy generators in the building, a humble heavy hitter. I want you guys to give a warm round of applause for Vic and Masoyan, but save your applause until I get through all the introductions. Hold up, second up. Man, listen, second base. We got one of my favorite illustrators in Fresno, a great guy, a man who I was in fourth grade with. A founder of the I would have to say the Broadway studios, the club of just not giving a damn, you know, the club of doing tight stuff and being self-deprecating. You know, I really enjoy this man's ability to be prolific. I've had a studio right down the hallway from him, and he is as messy as me, so I appreciate how he is able to create and organize chaos. But he had to spread his wings and go on to bigger pastures. You know what I'm saying? Boy's creating LLCs with his better half. Shouts to Laura Graham for holding it down. Widow's Walk Tattoo, one of the finest establishments in Fresno, located in Sun Stereo Warehouse across the street from Tioga Sequoia, so you can get you some brew and a tattoo, but don't drink before you get the ink, because why? It thins out the blood, correct? No. Let's keep it going. Okay, so
I just don't like drunk people.
Jason Graham, ladies and gentlemen, and last but not least, man. So the thing about this guy is, first and foremost, he helped me hang 39 pieces of artwork for this Art and BS podcast group show. He came off having the flu. He came off, you know what I'm saying, putting 9 kids in the car, sending them to school. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. He asked for it respectfully. A father by day, illustrator of action figures by day, a man who I think has a unique outlook, and we actually had a very insightful conversation that we'll talk about later on, but I don't want to diminish the power of this man's portfolio, from murals to screen-printed unicorns to hand-drawn, man, everything under the sun. I'll tell you, just the art in Jason's collection alone by Robert Amador is enough to do a solo show, man. Listen, a person who I think is by far the greatest action figure painter ever to grace the planet. Check out that Michelangelo he did with the Michael Jordan jersey. You see the patina on that. Oh my. Robert Amador, ladies and gentlemen.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Yeah, listen!
Okay, so gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Hey, okay.
Good.
Yeah. Too blessed to be depressed.
How about that?
Well,
it does rhyme though.
Oh, yeah, this sounds good.
I guess I should take back the floor. Asking you what your first memory seeing art was is redundant. The people seen that. The people heard that. You guys have all had really different paths since the last time that we sat down and been on, you know, the podcast together. And this is also the first time we've ever done a group episode. And I think the tie that binds us is Broadway Studios.
Absolutely.
Shout out Cereza. So I would like really quick... I mean, like, there's a lot of places that I want to start, but really quickly, can you talk about each individual, each of you, can you talk about, because I want to, there's a kind of order, and we're about to be all over the map, but real quick, Robert Amador, can you talk about those unicorns really quick? And I have a question for you. What happened to the one that was full color? Because, you know what I'm saying, we was looking for that. And then number two, when you printed the black and white one, because there's one that's glow in the dark, the one that's black and white. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jason's so smart. He's like, yo, man, we can just trade off mics. We got three. So can you talk about that a little bit? And A, how did you go about coming up with it? And then B, did you just have an anatomy book once you had the idea and then drew it out?
I was really into drawing these there we go. Is that a little, better?
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I was doing a lot of this big series of drawing these different animals and their breakdown of their like anatomical structure and whatnot. And then, and then there was a few people doing it. And so I was just kind of just like, what can I do? I still want to do this, but what can I do that's that's a little different, you know, than what they're doing than just doing like straight paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And before I was painting action figures, I was making a kind of like vintage inspired type of things. And of course, like I have like I've always tried to bring together like all these things that I'm interested in, like screen printing, you know, wood making, woodworking, just like, you know, messing around with jigsaws, messing around with spray paint. And that's what these are. These are like screen printed illustrations on jigsawed out wood with like some nice, you know, some nice little store-bought wheels and whatnot. I could probably turn those wheels and make those myself, but you know, at the time it was like, okay, gotta find some wheels that work for this. But the ones that were full color, I would put like a full little string on them and you could like pull them. But then, you know, at a certain point I'm like, I gotta make some black and white ones. So, you know, that's what these are. These are just kind of like the reverse, like trying to reverse all the colors and screen print out, you know, different parts. And there are different grays in there, which is like ridiculous because you can't really tell, but there are different grays. And then there is like the glow in the dark color overlay over the top of everything. And then like the white kind of acts as the outline, you know, where it's kind mm-hmm. of reversed from where, you know, the black would be an outline mm-hmm. on top of color.
Was the glow in the dark actually silk screened?
Yeah, the glow in the dark's a silk screen on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You made wiener dogs too.
I did make wiener dogs. Yeah, I made one for our buddy Dylan up in Portland.
I've seen a couple of those in the wild.
Yeah, yeah. I made some wiener dogs. I made like a nice little grizzly bear, which I only made like a few of them, but those are like hefty. Like I made them like mm-hmm. on some hefty ass wood.
So how many screens did you use for the full color ones?
For the full color ones, I used a ridiculous, actually for the full color ones, I used one screen for every single portion and then one screen for the black line, but I would tape out every single color that I wanted to tape out. So I would print out, you know, I would tape it all up and only leave like the intestines, you know, for instance, and then like everything would be taped up and then print over the intestines and then clean it all off, take all the tape off and then let it dry, tape off another area, you know, do it again. And I think I did it like 12 times. So it's like some insane, wow. Like some ridiculous, you know, I could have painted it faster than just right. like screen printing.
Cause
it.
I was, yeah, right yeah. There,
you know?
Yeah.
But at the time it's like, you get into that mode of like, I got to screen print this, you know? And so I would screen print every single color and then the black line on top of it. But then when you screen print on shit like that, like you do it and you just like pray that it lines up. You know, that it lines up at the in right. the right place, and that
how did you register that?
So the registration. Yeah, you want it? Yeah, no. So the registration, I would just do it. I just tape it. I just I would put it down, and then like outline the shape of the unicorn. And try to put that unicorn in the exact spot.
Okay,
spot. Yeah.
But I mean, it would suck to have to paint like 300 ribs.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they turned out great, man.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. So it's just screen printing. It's just experimenting with screen printing, and you know, it's not perfect, but I like the kind of imperfection of
dude,
it. You know,
it's crazy.
Are these the last two that you have?
These are the last two. Yeah, these are the last two. One glow in the dark.
Right?
Yeah. These are the last two. I plan on making some other stuff, but I've had these for a bit, and like these and like the other illustration that I showed are just like two things that I made, but that never really showed anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, you know, had to show them up, you know.
We might have to Rochambeau for the glow in the dark one.
The glow, you know, it's so bright in here, but the glow in the dark, the glow in the dark is like pretty
intense. Right.
It's like when
right.
you turn the lights off, it glows.
Right,
like
right,
really,
right.
It really glows, yeah.
Well, and then the price point at that thing is so, it's just like, man, like I was like, really? Like, oh,
yeah, yeah,
shit.
It's pretty,
like,
it's pretty
affordable.
Pretty affordable. It's right. pretty affordable.
Extremely,
yeah,
like, man.
Yeah.
I think it's overpriced.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it is
but see, the cool part is with inflation, because I saw what you originally asked for them, and then because there's like an Instagram post and
yeah.
it's like inflation, they should go right. up. Though.
They should right. go up. They should go up. But I was like, I'll make them like a pretty good like mm-hmm. you know a holiday gift price point.
Right. Yeah. Unbeknownst to us, James is discounting everything 90% the last day of the show.
James is discounting right. and taking more.
Right. That's what he's telling us.
Still 90%.
Right.
Every week it doesn't sell. Right. The commission rate goes up.
10%. Right. By the time the show is over, we're going to owe him money and our paintings.
We're going to be upside down.
Right.
We're going to be upside down.
Really yeah. This is my last show.
This is the last art BS
right.
show that we're
putting. That is BS.
It is BS. Oh, well, he put it on Front Street, you know. He let us know there's going to be some BS involved.
Right.
The BS was
right.
that, the commission rate was going to be higher than usual.
Right.
Oh, you guys
some
have.
Bullshit.
Wait, did you silkscreen all this shit with the voodoo?
I did. That's I did. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That was the Udu days. Yeah, that was the Udu days.
Wow.
Yeah, the Udu. You know, I got rid of the Udu. I offered it to James. I offered James the Udu before I got before
what?
I
got rid of
it. I didn't even where was it? When?
Yeah, I offered James the Udu. I was like, "Do you want this?" And he was just like, "I don't know."
Well, I remember you sent me the photo of you.
Oh, no. I offered it to you too, right?
You didn't offer it to me. You just sent me a photo of it. I was like, "Oh, sorry. That's
that." You're like, "What is this shit?"
Was it in the trash can?
No,
the photo?
It was the big in Fresno, and everyone knows about the big dump, you know, the big annual dump.
Oh, damn!
It was coming up, and I did a massive.
That'd have been a score.
Studio like you
it
know.
It looked like the printer cleanse. From Office Space. It was.
Oh no! It's not. It wasn't good. It wasn't.
But it's crazy that how much stuff you made on it. How
right.
Much yeah. Stuff you made on. Essentially something that's
yeah
made
I mean
for kids
moms.
Right.
Oh no!
Right, right.
It's yeah. It's a terrible screen printing device. But I mean, we would make so much shit on it,
yeah.
like zines, shirts, patches, handkerchiefs, toys, obviously, you know, like that, just like the craziest things on that thing, you know, and people are just like printing like, soccer shirts or something. I don't know what they're printing on it.
Right.
But yeah, I was doing all this stuff on it, but it was just time to move on. I can screen print with like at this point, I'm pretty good at like. I can get some DIY shit going pretty easy without like the you know usage of some device. Like I can get stuff going like with some like you know some MILF like hand weights, you know, ladder, you know, some of the like wedding dress mesh. You can use like wedding dress mesh
to
make like screen print. So it's like I can use whatever like wow. The voodoo. It's in a landfill now.
We get it. You're really good at stuff.
Right. Yeah. Some gum and toothpicks.
Yeah, some gum and toothpicks.
Here we go.
You know the guys at the prison taught me how to watercolor with M&Ms. Put the M&Ms in different
water. So
you get like a little tray and you put different colored M&Ms in each tray.
Wow.
And you put a little bit of water in them and it'll soak up the color. So wow. You have like a nice little watercolor set.
Right. It's almost like a scratch and sniff afterwards.
Yeah, you can sniff it. Yeah, they all smell like chocolate.
Oh man. Okay. So moving on, I am curious, Jason. Can you move the mic back a little bit because we're asking you
what's
a
up?
Few questions. So,
what? Why are you laughing?
What do you want? What is it you want?
He was like talking like you like turn the mic and just okay. So. Widow's Walk Tattoo, because the last time, you know, you came, slid through to the pod, man, you were a loyal member of the three amigos, me, Jason, and Vic, and we would all go out into the courtyard and, you know, talk about our hood rat experiences.
Yeah.
Hood rat activities.
Yeah. So, moving into your own tattoo shop, being the boss, you know what I'm saying? Because in the famous words of Jay-Z, everybody is bosses until it's time to pay for the office, right?
All right. Okay.
So
I'm a terrible boss. I'm not. I mean, it's good to like your boss, and I hate my boss, like, you know.
Since he's self-employed.
Yeah, I'm not a good boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I'm a hard worker if I'm working for someone.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm not a very hard worker when I'm working for myself. I don't know. I just, yeah.
But I don't know. I would argue I slid through Widow's Walk Tattoo with Vickin and we saw you drawing a crow tattoo that you were working on. And right. There were some discrepancies with the head. You were like, hey, I'm going to draw a new, like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how long did it take you to formulate that illustration?
I don't know. I mean, usually I draw things the morning of the tattoo. Mm-hmm. So usually it just depends on what it is. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that took me, I don't know, a couple hours. I feel like I was there for a while, but I did a couple different drafts for mm-hmm. the dude. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting the second one.
Okay. Like,
so, and he was stoked. Came down from Portland. Super rad guy. And it was fun. But yeah, I feel like I draw pretty fast if I know the person is coming. Like if I have a deadline. Mm-hmm. And if there's not a deadline, then I just kind of fuck off. And like, you know, I don't take it seriously until it's actually happening. And then I'm really on it. I don't know. It's a problem, kind of. But it's also just how I work.
The sense of urgency.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. I know this person's going to be here at 1 o'clock and I have to do a good job. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do a good job. I don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. But if that's not the case, then yeah, like you guys come over and I'm like, nah, I don't have to do anything. Let's go fuck around and smoke cigarettes and talk shit. Yeah. Who cares, you know? That's tomorrow. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's amazing to me that you actually come up with a few comps for an actual tattoo. You're doing 2 to 3 illustrations for, and even when you said the day of is pretty amazing, you know?
I think once I get into the actual act of drawing, it just happens. And if I have a little bit of extra time, I'm going to draw, like different versions of it or change certain things just so the person has, you know, a choice in what they want.
And options of, which is
always
amazing.
That's not always the case. It's just if I have time and I like the thing, then draw a few.
Yeah, for sure.
That's, and generally, it's the first draft that always gets picked. I could bring 4 of them out, and no one ever takes the 4th one. It's always the first one. But this guy, last week, a few days ago, like, proved me wrong and picked the second one. But
really? When we're at the shop, the one you were drawing?
Yeah, the second
one. Oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah, I perspectively, I liked the way you were. I didn't see the finished product, but I was like,
yeah, the second one was better. The first head looked like, I don't know. I feel like if I'm not drawing something like evil and gnarly, I draw it sad and cute. So the first one was kind of sad and cute, and the second one was a little like more fucking metal.
Right. I mean, when he moved in at Broadway, man, we were going through the trash cans of your illustrations of tattoos, and they were just trash bags of just paper, like stuffed, you know, it was just insane.
Yeah,
it was
like thousands of drawings in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Thousands.
Well, and that speaks to the love for the craft, right? Because it's like, in one breath, you're like, well, I'm a shitty boss, but then in another breath, you're cranking out 3 fucking comps and spending hours on it, you know what I'm saying? And I mean,
I guess that's true. But Laura, my wife, like, she's a great sort of self-starter. I feel like I just go through phases of working really, really hard and then going like, oh, I don't feel like working. You know,
mm-hmm. Works harder than anybody I've ever seen.
I've seen.
On, like,
man,
yeah,
look,
fucking
man, look. Yeah, I agree with you. I took off, and mm-hmm. he just was pulling out paint, and he just decided to blast his wall at his studio. And I came back the next day, and I was just like in awe, man. I sat at the bench that was across from his place. I'm like.
And he'll be harder on himself about it. He'll be like, I just did some, it's whatever.
Yeah, okay, man, I was like, just.
Who cares? What's the point?
All these emotions were like.
And it'll be like the most amazing.
Yeah,
like,
I fucking hated it. I was like jealous, pissed off, envious. Like,
he works fucking hard.
Yeah.
I think, like, if I'm painting something goofy, I don't care about like that, like the outside of the wall. It's just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pressure. Then it's like, yeah, I'll do this really quick, whatever. But, I mean, I get super pissed. I'm not pissed, but I'm in awe of the work that you, the amount and the quality that you're able to just crank out when you decided to, in 1 month, do a painting a day, and every painting is just a banger.
Like, well, I owe thanks to you for that. Like, I was scared going into the project, but at the same time, you know, we all have different processes, right? Yeah. And that's something I enjoy is like the process almost more than, because I'm kind of depressed when I finish a piece. It's like,
oh really?
Yeah. Fuck, I'm like done. I'm like, damn, what now? Like, so it's on to the next project. But you know, you could crank it out when you want to. I know you didn't turn it on that day, but it, again, I would not want to go heads up with you, you know, like on trying to do a lot of work at one day.
Yeah, yeah.
I think doing a lot of something doesn't equal doing a high quality thing.
Wait.
Like cranking out a ton of shit, but it does.
There's always like, you have such a creative callus that. That's the difference. It's like you could wait for inspiration or just start fucking working. And you, when you turn it on, I've seen you. It's insane, dude. Like,
yeah. You know, he moves fast and he does really good work. Yeah, and I have gone like fucking
heads up with him. I know,
dude. And
I know.
It's like,
I'm carrying that time, torch, by the way.
Every time
I'm in the
like,
studio where you guys shared and worked in his old studio, so I'm like, oh man, I gotta hold the fort down. Mm-hmm. I would like to revisit some of that stuff, you know, and check it out.
No, there'd be many a time, like back in the day, like when we would somewhat share a studio, you know, like I would see like Jason like go down, like just like be so fucking mad after like killing it, like he'd like do some crazy work and then like go like, man, I'm fucking tired and like take a nap, and like I would go and like do like. You know, some fucking dumb shit, like go hang out in the alley and like, you know, do something stupid, be out there like drinking and like fucking breaking things or something. And then like come back and like Jason would get up from his nap and just go right back to his desk and start working. And I'd go like, fuck, I was out there like doing dumb shit for like a few hours. This dude took a small nap and got right back to work. Like,
it's inspiring, man.
I don't remember that. I remember you being incredibly prolific, and I mean that was one of the reasons when I was talking to Vic and James about like, oh, like I don't know, we used to just like crank shit out. Like the first when Broadway first opened its door, do you remember like that the back hallway? Like how we just like we like just spit out so much stuff. It was just the wall was crushed.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a normal thing. Like, oh, this is what we're doing.
I was telling James about that the first time, first time we sat down and talked, like how we went fucking hard, like that first show, because there was Broadway was brand new and there was no one knew about it, so we just went hard, and then on top of that, like we fucking crushed Tower and Downtown and any place that would hold a flyer, that would hold a poster. Like we went fucking hard, like advertising it, like hoping people would show up. And like that first Art Hop, like we were exhausted. Like I remember being so tired, and like, but people showed up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We were able to kind of, I think we still went hard like the next few months, but we were able to kind of live off of that first, like going so hard that first month where we were just like working and then like going, like plotting, like going like, how do we get people to show up to this place? Like, cause there was nothing at the time. Like there was nothing around.
Oh, there was no Art Hop.
Like, there was no art. Yeah. Like, Art Hop wasn't like downtown. Cool. Yeah. There was like nothing that was around or no real reason to get anyone under like 65 to like come to like an art show, you know? So we went super hard that first time.
But that's what I was trying to sort of copy when because, you know, like I said, he did the, like a painting a day and I was going to do it with him. And then I lost the plot and didn't do it. And he just cranked out all this amazing work. Like I've got, I don't know, a ton of those pieces cause they're all really dope.
Yeah.
But I feel like that time was just, everybody in there was going hard.
Oh yeah.
Like,
everyone was. Yeah. Everyone was going hard as shit. Like, in those days.
And I think I wanted to feel that again. So I was like, let's do this, Vic. And then Vic starts doing it. And I'm like, oh, you're really doing some cool stuff. I was just going to draw some bullshit. Like,
there was a couple pieces he put out like where he dedicated some time and he focused in. And I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
But he led me on that path. And I when he told me it's on, I was kind of like sick in my stomach because I didn't know if I could. Because I mean, they know.
He like go shut the studio door. You're like,
I'm like super OCD, and I was just like, we're like, okay, we're gonna throw canvases over the wall because he's right next door, and we're just gonna do this and do that. And you know, it's great to have that in proxy because you guys could feed off of each other.
Yeah.
Even though we weren't like, we did one, which James. has. Okay. We ended up gifting it for his 40th. Yeah. And can I say that? You turned 40? Okay, yeah, I can say that live. He turned 40. This is our last year in our 40s.
Okay. Yeah, right?
So, but, you know, and it's crazy. Like, I wish I would have spent more time on it, because what Jason did too was just like fucking badass. Yeah, yeah. You know, I was like, God damn it.
I mean, you know, I think we're both hard on ourselves, and I think that's a valuable thing to have.
Sure.
But like, you know, I feel like I came out on top of the whole thing, because I got so many cool pieces of art that are hanging in my shop and my house, and I'm just...
He says that, but I don't know. I got a lot of stuff from him too.
Yeah.
Like, way. Yeah, it's fucking great. Yeah.
Yeah, shit, I got a flat file of just, like, the dopest art from my friends, like, still, like, at some point I'll frame it up, but, you know.
Oh, I'd like to go through that and see what's in there.
I got some dope shit.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah. You have to do a show and tell with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I could do a whole show and tell for sure. I could probably do a few shows with just the stuff that's in my flat file right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've got some dope stuff in there.
But you have no art hanging in your house. What's wrong with you?
No art hanging in my house. My wife doesn't like it.
She doesn't like art.
She doesn't like art.
Is that real, or is that...
It's partly real.
Okay. You know, all right.
Yeah.
We won't throw her in the bus.
She might watch this. You know that she loves you for you, not because of like the cool shit you can draw.
I know, right? Yeah. No, I do have...
She doesn't care about the cool shit you can draw.
I do have the drawings of like my kids, like the day they were born. Every single one, like the day they were born, I would do a drawing of them.
Gotcha.
And those are hanging up in the house.
Right, but, okay.
Yeah, those are the only things. That's the only like... Okay. Handmade art, yeah.
Well, I mean, the real art you made is those kids.
Right,
You made these people. Yes, right. Like,
yeah.
The most beautiful art you could ever make.
Some of the fastest work I've done.
Yeah, very fast, yeah.
2 minutes fast.
2 minutes. Yeah. Hey, whoa, 2 minutes? God dang. It's like a minute and a half to take my clothes on and off.
Okay. We got to bring it in. All right. We all over the map. We got to bring it back home. Oh, man. So, but I think that really is interesting that you guys had brought up the collaboration piece, because that was the first time that I saw you put, yarn through, or string through the canvas, because it's a slit wrist, correct?
Right.
And you're Vic, and you're really you violating, because you didn't bring the shoot the shit.
Oh yeah, right.
Vic and Mayday, I was telling Jason, man. He made a... You want to describe it? You want to talk about it?
It's just a make ready. It's like a SKS rifle stock with a plunger on it. It's the rifle is called Shoot the Shit. That wordplay is great.
Yeah.
It's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I was supposed to bring it. I forgot it at the studio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you've had a few different projects going on. You have three separate paintings in here. And, you know, I think that it's interesting, because I was talking about the bolt cutters the other day, and I brought this up with you, and I'm fascinated. And we'll have, you know, some of this artwork you guys flash up on the screen, you know, for your viewing pleasure and all that good stuff. But painting a pair of bolt cutters on raw birch, and then for the shadow using an airbrush machine, I think there's something to getting the problem solved no matter what tools you're using. So is that something that you apply in every painting that you make, or are there paintings where you have a specific set of tools that you adhere to?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't mind throwing the whole toolbox at the end result, but mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm not a purist, you know, like I don't really know what I'm doing, but I just know where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's like Prisma pencil in there too, because like the cast iron would have some tooth. So I gave it some texture as well, but it's just basically in parts of it. Nothing like, yeah, you know, I just do what it takes to get to a certain point. Yeah.
Interesting. I think that there's something to knowing what tool to use for that. You know, like, how do you know to use the Prisma pencil?
I feel like Robert and Vic are very similar in that way, because this dude will just throw whatever works at it, and so will you. Like, but I feel like you're more sloppy with it. But it tightens up. Like, you'll throw, house paint, spray paint, and shellac, and whatever as a medium, and it's more, it's like a looser sort of thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, you're using all the tools in the toolbox to really, like, lock into how this metal's going to look and, like, possibly, give it some tooth.
Right. And I fucked up a lot of pieces to get to that point. Like, really? You know, right. I mean, meaning, like, knowing what to use, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tests. I mean, you've seen some of my samples. Like, I'll do some stupid shit. Like, you know, I'm pretty OCD about some of my approach. So, you know,
I mean, some of the test strips you were doing for gold leaf were pieces in themselves. Like, how does gold leaf attach to this kind of clear coat or plain white? Really wild. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. I would frame that. The little test piece that you did. Yeah, it's really cool, like, seeing how this gold leaf will react to different surfaces.
Necessary. When you're doing something like that. You don't want to figure that out
on the piece. Right. And the minerals, how they would react to it. Yeah. So it's not normal. It's not good.
No, I know. That test strips are necessary.
Right.
Like, they're completely necessary with that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, especially with toys, like, because you don't want to.
You don't want to like mess it up with like, weird.
Because
I've tried that. I've definitely tried like a lot of experimental finishes and sealers and things like that. And
right.
Things react. I mean, things react. Like now that I've been messing with like action figures that are made out of plastics from 30, 40 years ago, like they react to newer paints, newer. Whatever finishes, enamels, anything, like they react to these things, you know. So
like if they take or if they don't,
they take or sometimes, whatever type of oil or anything is inside the plastic can bleed through. Yeah,
okay.
Bleed through the paint and or bleed through the sealer and things like that. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, so I do a lot of like, you know, sealing with super glues and all kinds of.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, just. You know, whatever, experiment with a bunch of different types
interesting
of stuff.
That's cool.
Sealing with super glue. I saw this like one of the like I love like special features, like back with like DVD days. Like I would just completely watch every special feature on like every DVD, like every director's commentary. Like I fucking loved all that stuff. But the Leica movies, the stop motion movies, like I love those just, you know, through and through. And one of the things in the behind the scenes footage was like they talked about they couldn't figure out how to bring the color out and how to seal this type of like 3D printed resin, and what they figured out was dipping it into super glue.
Okay.
And so I found this super glue called the original super glue. That's like the cheapest super glue you can find. It's like at any 99-cent store, right? A little yellow bottle with the red cap. And I fucking just squeeze that shit into like a little cup, and we'll dip stuff into it like crazy.
Well, I mean, not to geek out on this, but like super glue was intended for cuts, right? It was applied to
you hold the cut together, and put super glue on it,
So for the service, like mm-hmm. so if people got cut. Is there a sheen to that? Do you have to actually sand it as well?
There is a sheen to it. And if you apply it too thick in some places, you get a fog.
Okay.
So you have to watch out for that. Yeah, there's a lot of like little like figuring out like what plastics
you can use
to like rub. Like there's certain plastic bags that work really well to like rub super glues on things.
Oh, interesting.
You know? There's some plastics that you put them into the super glue and they fall apart. Like it's just all this same thing with like the test strips, like kind of figure out like what works, what doesn't work, you know, taking notes. You know,
that's crazy.
Doing it and you go like, that didn't work. I guess I got to write that down. Like don't ever use that type of whatever, black rubber glove or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Didn't you flip old boy from Toxic Crusaders as the Joker? like the forearm dude, right?
Let's see, which one? The,
cause that's like the villain dude, right?
Yeah, what's his name? Dr. Killamoff. Mm-hmm. The Toxic Crusader figures are dope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a few of those that I repainted. I recently bought a good chunk of them, and then I showed them to a friend who buys a ton of figures, and he's actually bought a ton of my custom work, mm-hmm. and he was like, man, I can't look at Toxic Crusaders the same. And I was like, why man, what's, you know? And he's like, I hung out with Lloyd Kaufman, and he's a fucking horrible person.
Oh, really?
Oh, damn.
Like, man, like, yeah, never meet your heroes.
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
Is that a generic Toxic Avenger then? Or is it, well, was that
it's,
a cartoon?
It's
or
from
it
the cartoon.
The 80s,
it's from
right?
the really short-lived cartoon. Okay. The cartoon was on, like fucking a blink of an eye, like, was on. Yeah, they tried to make a cartoon out of, like, okay. yeah, out of
the whole Toxic
thing.
Avenger.
Yeah, out of the
like,
Toxic Avenger.
One of the most brutal.
Yeah, films, out of the, one like, of the most brutal, like.
Getting his head squashed under the car.
10 points, yeah.
yeah. 10 points, yeah.
10 points, Adam, yeah. What? I missed him? Yeah. Half a point. This is the free verse. Yeah.
Oh,
God. One of the most brutal scenes ever, yeah.
Trauma makes a lot of brutal shit.
They do.
But
they do.
Lloyd Kaufman's not a good guy. Is he just.
I don't
Dude
know.
Said he's a
I mean, how can he? Yeah, I mean, yeah. he makes like
he's
he makes
an auteur.
Tops.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah, like, he's an artist, man.
Yeah,
he's break. Fucking break, bro. Come on. Make someone who makes a kid on a bicycle like getting their head crushed yeah. is like a sweet dude.
Did you watch Redneck Zombies, the trauma film?
No.
Oh, it's fucking.
I'll check.
It's
it out.
Terrible. Like in the best way, in that
yeah,
trauma
yeah,
way of
yeah.
just being garbage.
Oh God, check
I think
it out.
I still have the VHS somewhere.
Oh God. It's on VHS. It's
oh, yeah.
perfect.
It's real bad.
I have to borrow that.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I've been really into, like, trying to find...
Trauma stuff?
VHS?
Shitty stuff.
VHS
shitty stuff.
Movies?
Well, yeah, shitty
right,
stuff
movies. You're in the right town for shit.
Yeah. No, I'm not, man. Everyone became a fucking collector during the pandemic. It's so
oh.
hard to find stuff. It's
oh.
so hard to
no,
find
no,
stuff.
That's not what happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't they became a collector. They became a reseller. Mm.
Yeah, they became flippers. Yeah, they, yeah, I know you're right. You're right. They became flippers. Yeah, no, you because nobody you'd have to hold on to it to collect.
It's more or less the recession that really brings them out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Overseas stuff. A lot of you know that's just kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, this town. Yeah, I mean, you can't. You go to like a thrift store. You can't find shit at a thrift store. Like
everything. Right, right.
And if you do find it, it's like some crazy
yeah.
price.
Yeah, like, and I'll refurbish frames from like. Goodwill or anything
yeah.
like so I'll find like oak you know lumber and try and figure out these nice frames and all
yeah
sand them stain them and then paint them and man they've gone up like just everything's just skyrocketing. I'm like damn dude like this is like 4 or 5 times more than what I usually pay for it's just crazy
yeah.
Yeah, you see what
yeah.
God just did to us.
Yeah,
man?
Still look at God.
Like, that was
crazy.
God, that was you. You're a fucking narcotics agent.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. So now I just shop for frames on Amazon.
Yeah.
No.
Fuck.
I'm kidding.
I know, right?
I'm kidding. I still
I
die from
my
frames.
Now. yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten expensive. It's gotten
yeah.
pricey as hell. It really makes me regret like throwing shit out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have thrown anything out. Should have held on to it all.
Damn. He wants the silk screen back.
I know, right?
Shouldn't have thrown that
YouTube
away, man.
Yeah,
right, right.
Shouts
to the
YouTube. I know, man. Shouts out to that YouTube, even though like it was kind of the worst, and like they made it really difficult to like find anything.
Hmm.
Like you couldn't find the screens, you couldn't find the products.
But
you know.
For a small room, like full silk screen set, it did
yeah.
did everything you needed
it
to do.
It did the job. It did the job. I can't hate on it.
Yeah,
it did the job. It kept me. It kept me afloat. It paid the rent for a long time. Yeah, maybe the artist I am today.
Yeah.
I owe everything to it.
You owe everything.
Yeah.
The no do.
Yeah, the no do. It would have been no do, but it was you do because of it. Mm-hmm.
I like how that unicorn magically disappeared off the table.
It's gone, man.
Jason was like, fuck this unicorn.
It's a Jason's car.
Yeah. yeah.
He's bogging. He's away. He's hiding it till the 90% off, like, you know,
the
at the thrift
day.
Store.
Yeah,
don't,
the
don't
last
flatter
days.
Yourself.
The
I don't want any of your stuff.
Oh, man.
yeah.
I mean, shit, my house begs to differ.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, and I will say this, in reference to the 99-cent store analogy, I think that's really important to bring a light to having, you know, phenomenal artists such as you guys in a show with art that's actually affordable, you know, because a lot of artists can't even afford their own artwork, you know, but it's like $500 and under for the holidays. Yeah, man, and you guys really came with some killer pieces. Jay, you know what I'm saying? I know you try to downplay it, you know what I'm saying? You wanted to, but also, really quick, I want to talk to you about what would you say Has there ever been a time when someone wanted to get a tattoo and you were like, this is just a bad idea, and you tried to talk them out of it and it didn't work?
For sure. Oh, didn't work. Well, I mean,
wow.
I mean, you can make anything not work just by saying I'm not doing it.
No, but I mean, like, I think he may be asking specifically, like, I'm paying you, you're doing this, and like, what's, because we've heard of like, get out of my shop, I'm not going to tattoo your face,
right?
Because you're 16. But like,
I mean, the thing that sticks out in my mind that like kind of fucked me up on like tits, like, I mean. I love tits. Like, I love my wife's tits. They're the greatest thing in the world to me. And I had to tattoo this, like, elderly lady's boob. Like, she wanted something around her nipple. Oh. And honestly, I should have said, like, this is a bad idea. And I think I did say, like, I don't think this is a good idea. She wanted a cloud around it. And it kind of, you know, it didn't look good. There was no way to make it look good. And it was a pretty gnarly experience because it, like, it still is like burned in my head, like having to stretch this giant areola and like, you know, veins and shit. Like, yeah, that didn't work. But, you know, at some point, it depends like what shop you're working for, who you're working for, like whether you have to do this thing or not. And I had to do this thing. I had to do what she wanted, you know?
You know, he took his time with it.
He did.
He liked it.
Oh yeah, like
a cloud, really, a cloud,
a cloud around
areola, air. It makes sense.
Nipple, and then a bird, like a little like silhouette of an eagle, and I just remember it stuck in my head. She was like, "This is the last breast Elijah fed off of," and I was like, "God damn, yeah, all right, like what the fuck is happening right now?" It was like,
she's like, "You're Elijah."
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it was a weird experience.
He's like, oh,
yeah, you're Elijah. Yeah, no shit. That shit is burned in my brain though. Like, it kind of like fucked me up a little bit. That's the one that comes to mind. Like,
right.
And then, like, what's that dude, McAfee, the guy who did the?
Oh God.
Yeah, the
guy
virus
who being
thing.
Shit on or whatever.
Yeah. So the guy he came in actually with I believe sex workers, like, just coked out of their minds, and he actually paid my appointment not to take the appointment. He was like, "Here's $200, just come back a different time." And I was like, "Okay, sure." So I tattooed one of his friends, whatever, and then the other one was just coked out of her brain and wanted like a DNA double helix made out of snakes and swords on her back. And I was like, okay, sure. And I drew it as a walk-in, like, here. And I actually did it. I was proud of myself. Like, I drew this thing, and she kind of like lost her mind. Like, that's not what I want. Change this and that. And she brought her driver in to get me to fix it.
It's like strong arm you.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to get my ass beat right now. It's like 2 a.m. and like, this woman's coked out of her brain. But he came in to apologize, like, "Hey, I'm sorry. She's kind of crazy, whatever." But that wouldn't have worked. I'm sure there's plenty that wouldn't have worked. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine like having a canvas that will threaten you and bleed and bitch and complain and tell you to like change your shit?
Yeah,
that
possibly won't.
Right. It's like,
I'll,
nah,
like,
dude, I'm not gonna suck. Do that.
Yeah. It's yeah. Like, people can be difficult to deal with for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do my best. But. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's not.
Oh, wow. That was a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I do.
Entertain. He's here to entertain.
Okay. Now, sort of really quick, Jay, we're going to, because I'm trying to skip around with all of you guys and you know, give you guys some different questions to chew on. But I'm curious as to opening up your tattoo in Fresno, your tattoo shop in Fresno, going from like C-Tramp and, you know what I'm saying, the PDX, you know what I'm saying, to WWT in the 559 Widow's Walk tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Three dubs, you know what I'm saying? Two dubs, you know what I'm saying? Have you noticed a difference, like, in the clients? Is there, like, a overall, or most of the people coming out, because I know you said that the Crow tattoo that you, you know, just made was a person who came out from Portland.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, walk-ins or just new clients, is there a difference in the type of tattoo that California looks at versus, like, what you're used to doing in Portland?
Yeah, I would say so.
Talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Yeah, I think I might have gotten kind of spoiled, but I worked super hard in Portland to build my clientele, and they would come to me for the thing that I did, which was like sort of darker, neo-traditional, sort of esoteric, kind of, you know, out there shit, as opposed to here, where a lot of people are going to lean more towards, I don't know, script or portraits or not such weird outsider kind of stuff. But I will say the people I've tattooed here have been rad and have sort of been more in line with like what I do, what I like to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely different. I think everything's different here than it is there. But yeah. Yeah, you know, it's hard to build a clientele, especially like if you don't use social media, which I don't like doing it, and it's such a big part of just being alive now, and I don't like doing it, you know. Yeah, it's definitely different aesthetically. People want different things, and also there's that sort of mutual level of respect that you have when you've built a clientele. Like someone comes into you and understands what you do and why they want it, and it's easier to converse about what exactly it is that we're trying to accomplish. And here, I feel like maybe there's just not that yet, that like mutual respect.
Right. So now this is, we on some hood shit, y'all. We got cords falling, fucking, you know what I'm saying, cloud things going. Okay. So now, do you think that it's one of those things? Because I feel you, I hear it. You know, so it's like, man, I'd asked him about the differences, you know, and it's as far as tattooing, the clients, Portland versus
our
Fresno.
Local.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. And Jason told me, he said, you know, in Portland, you know what I'm saying, they like that dark shit. And then he was like, I know a nigga who mom died, then he went blind, shit really got dark for him.
I don't know if it's that kind of darkness I'm talking about. Like, yeah.
Like clientele-wise, it's just...
Yeah, I think, like, maybe a more... yeah, just definitely. I mean, there's a lot of people that like lighthearted stuff in Portland as well. Like, but, you know...
Okay, here's what I'm thinking about. Is when you guys told the story, because I got to cut in because we're going to bring it all home. Broadway Studios, you're going hard, taking naps, getting back up, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Amador's out there going hard, going in the alley. And I fuck with Amador, like, going in the alley, fucking off, and then getting back to work.
Sure.
So the, like, but the marketing, like, you guys hit the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you gotta hit these internet streets.
I know, that's what it is now. I always like the face to face, the actual going out, physically putting up flyers, all that stuff. And like, I really just don't.
We should go to Goldstein's. I bet you would get some. Really, but Tioga's right across the street. That shit, man.
Yeah, I'm just not good at marketing. I don't like it. And I just feel like things happen naturally the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try too hard when it comes to marketing at all. Mm-hmm. Things just happen. You know, I've never been really about trying to market whatever. Everything always works out well enough.
Yeah, Jason is kind of like Akuma in Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. If you find him, it's crazy, but you got to know how to get to him.
Yeah. I don't really know that reference because I've only played Street Fighter 2, never Super Street
he
Fighter 2
Turbo. He was a hidden character and he was hella good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah. I take that as a compliment. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean, maybe that is maybe something that, like, there is a barrier to entry, kind of. Like, I don't want to be that accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want walk-ins. I don't want every person to come in. I want there to be a certain clientele that I line up with, you know, when it comes to what we like aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not gonna get that if you're running a street shop and you want walk-ins. That's not what I want.
Talk.
That's it?
It's interesting. I know of another tattoo artist from the Valley. He had his own shop. He ended up going to Sacramento, and he's doing flash. Like, it's three times a week. The guy is getting paid six figures. The shop pays him, and he's, you know, whatever the shift is, 8-10 hour days, three times a week, and he's doing flash.
Good
like,
for him.
That's it. Yeah, and yeah. It's just like the place like is slammed.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have to deal with the ownership. I don't have to deal with clients. I don't have to deal with employees. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
I'm working. I get my check. I've got, you know, four days off. I mean, he's obviously likes it, you know, he loves his business. I mean, again, there's like the grind to it too. Like it's like,
oh yeah,
where you're making you're a successful artist and you're making a living and doing that, you know?
Yeah. It's like where it comes into that point where you're like, is being a successful artist doing what you want to do and finding success that way? Or is it like making art and finding success that way, but what you do isn't something that you necessarily enjoy doing or you love, right, or it's not like, you know, it's like, right, are you able to swallow that, you know, swallow that pride, you know, pride aspect of it, you know? Cause I mean, shit, like, I'm like, fuck. I've always talked about that with Jason, like years ago, he was like going like, hey man, you should try tattooing, you know, with like the line. Cause at the time, like I was doing so much line work type stuff. And it's like trying to do that line work, but it sounds cool. And then you kind of go, all right, but then I'm going to have to do this line work on something that I would never want to do on my own.
Right.
You know, but it's like, are you able to separate yourself from that? Are you able to just go, this is the work that I'm doing. You know, I don't necessarily love it. I don't hate it, because obviously I could be like, you know, doing some other bullshit for like, you know, for a fraction of what I'm getting paid to do this thing, you know. But yeah, it's like the age old debate, you know, of like,
Thing is, Amador, is when I hear you say that, what other skill set do people have where it's like you hone this thing, it's for you, and then like then you start, for lack of a better term, pimping it out, right?
Yeah,
so it's like whatever, and I mean like our artistic brains work in different ways. It's like, yeah, painting, but you guys do a lot of different things. So it's like, where is the a lot of times, like, I don't know of any other career where people cultivate this thing and then they can use it to like not only make money, but it's like to create something out of nothing in another particular field, you know, because it's like you were at Broadway doing murals with Josh Wigger, you know what I'm saying? And then now it's Des Machines and you're painting action figures.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know of any other field where you could like learn something and then apply it. Like,
and apply it totally to different,
wherever you want.
Yeah.
And then, but the only thing with us as artists is we have to get detached from like our pride, because it's like, this is my art. I'm going to determine where or how or whatever. And it's like, well, no, I know how. It's kind of like we know how to fix cars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then we're just fixing everybody's car. And respectively speaking, you know, if it's a pet portrait or if it's a tattoo or if it's a ready-made, you know, that's commissioned or whatever, when they say, hey, you know, this is the thing that I want, at that point, we're putting on new brakes. You know what I'm saying? And it's no longer you putting peanut butter interior on your 67 Nova.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's now like, okay, I got to put this fish
cake.
You're
just a dude, like, you're just changing brakes at that point. Like, it doesn't matter if it's like a classic car or like whatever. You're just changing brakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is like that age old debate of like, at what point, like, what type of, how much of yourself do you want to give out, and like, how much are you able to give out and be okay with?
I see Jason's brain moving.
Yeah, because Jason's always been good about that. Because I've always been on that same boat where I'll always be like, man, I need some fucking money. I need some benefits. I need this. I need that. And Jason's always like, just do it. Just fucking do your work. And I'm like, that's not enough, man. I got to do this. And it's just like, no, do your fucking work. Like, Jason's always been on like a decade of him being on top of me with that shit, or being like, you should just do your work. Like, just, you know, bare bones, like, what's at the core of that thing, and pursue the core of that thing. Like, don't make it about, you know, don't be the guy that's going, I'm a painter, but I'm doing this side job and I'm doing this side job and I'm doing this side job and I'm doing this thing because I'm trying to like pay the bills. But at the same time, you could have just paid the bills by just fucking like doing the work, keeping your head down, sticking to whatever the plan was and not taking all these side quests. You know, I'm just going like, I'm just going for the fucking castle. I'm just going to save the princess from the castle. I'm not going to like do all these side quests. Jason's like, nah, I'm saving that fucking princess first. Yeah. And then whatever, I'll do some bullshit. But yeah. But and he's good about that. Like, and he's always gotten on top of me about that shit where I'll talk to my wife about that, where I'm just like, yeah, Jason said I should just fucking do my shit and like stop being like a bitch about everything else, you know? And it's just like, it's just so funny where it's like every artist is different with that, where there's some that are just able to swallow that pride and there's some that aren't, but they still do the bullshit, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, at how much bullshit can you really, you know, can you really take or do? And, you know, I don't know. I guess you just have to like, you know, I don't know. It's like, I still debate it within myself. I'm like confident in the things I do and I still fucking have that inner debate, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that's good advice for everyone. It's just, I think
that's... No, I know, for sure, for sure.
Someone whose work I really like, and I'm like, yeah. Holy shit. Like,
I know, it's dangerous advice. It's just like, everyone, it's like dangerous, yeah. Like umbrella, yeah. Advice. Like, yeah. Not everyone should throw everything away and fucking go for it. Because
like, yeah,
because most people aren't very good.
That's, yeah. You know? I mean, there's a lot of people that suck.
Yeah. Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, okay, but where's the line, you guys? I'm curious. Where's the line between, like, hard work and talent, right? Like if you suck and you're really motivated, right, well, can you be
so
that
subjective.
Guy?
I mean,
because, I know. Because I remember living in Seattle, right, and there was this dude who was a graffiti writer and by everybody's standards, like a toy. And then I moved away to Indianapolis for, like, 12 months and came back and this kid, he just grinded for, and I was like, whoa, like, are you same dude? Like, yeah, man. Yeah. And he was official, like his art skills, he just tried. And now dude does solo shows and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
it's an individual thing.
Yeah.
Like everybody's different. And with I'm so old, but like with the advent of the internet, like people are so much better.
Yeah.
Quicker, fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like your kids can sit down and watch a tutorial video on how to, you know, paint Baby Yoda or whatever and be able to paint
able
a
to
perfect Baby Yoda. Yep. Yeah, well, we didn't have that. Like, I was like, oh, so you put shellac on that thing and then you, like, threw some paint on it and somehow it became a face. Okay, but there's no tutorial for that.
Yeah, like, and okay, I agree with you, but there's also a certain type of person that is humble enough to go and watch a tutorial and actually assimilate that information.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel like, oh, I can draw, I know everything, I figured it out. You know, and they're stuck, right? Rightfully so. But I think that there's like the childlike mentality that we have to always learn and want to see what we can do and push it, right?
Yeah, the hard work versus talent thing is like is something that I've always dealt with, not just within myself, but also like I've met plenty of people who are very talented but didn't put in the work, or who didn't have that talent, that like that natural talent, that natural knack, but would put in the work and get to that point, you know. Timber, you know, a friend of ours, you know, he's got this story that he tells every time we've gone camping together with friends.
Hold on, quick, Timber, you need to quit playing and do the pop. All right,
has he not done the podcast?
No, he gave me a condition and I'm down.
Do that condition, man.
Yeah, the condition. He wants to do an episode while he's painting.
He's another guy. He's a guy. We're from that same school, man. Like I came up with this dude. Like we would hang out, and whenever we would hang out, we would work. We would work on something. We would never hang out and just like sit around. We would always fucking hang out and work. Like we would watch a movie, and we'd be working while this movie was on. Like we'd always work.
What was y'all watching?
just some, I don't know. He's got deep cuts on like some old kung fu shit. I can't even pretend to name any of the stuff he knows. Nice. He knows this shit. He knows his shit. I don't know any of that stuff. You know, like I would know some of the stuff. Like he would throw on some crazy like, you know, all like of the clips from like clips from like, you know, 36 Chambers. Mm-hmm. He know what all those clips were. I would be like, all right, I guess I know two of those movies. Mm-hmm. He would know them all, you know, that kind of shit. Might
put on Snake in the Monkey.
Yeah, like he would know. He knows those things, you know. But mm-hmm. He's got this story, and he tells it all the time. Where because we came up together. I've known him since second grade, right? Mm. And in second grade, we had this show and tell, and at the show and tell, he went up first. And he showed off this like beautiful Raphael, you know, that he had completed, this Ninja Turtle. He worked on this thing, and he said like he worked really hard on it. He worked on this Raphael, fucking just was like, you know, check this out. And like everybody was like, damn, that's crazy, right? Like showed off this Raphael, and then he's like, and then you went up and you drew Raphael, you drew all the fucking Ninja Turtles, you drew all their friends, you drew the bad guys, you drew everybody, and like nobody gave a fuck about my drawing after that. Like, and he's like, he's got the story. And like he, you know, one day like we were camping and we were drinking and he brought this up, and like it was like some like, you know, some
deeply rooted.
Yeah, it was like it was
trauma. Trauma.
And I was like, damn, bro, I didn't know, like, you know,
30 years later.
Yeah, I'm like, that was the second grade, dude. But yeah, yeah. And he's like, to me, has always been the perfect example of like, I mean, he's got the talent. I would never deny that. But that dude works fucking hard. You know? Like, and to me, like, I've always looked at guys like that I went to school with or like whatever, who were very talented, but they never kept up with it. Mm. And I'd catch up with these dudes and they'd go, are you still drawing? And I'd go, yeah. And I'd ask them, of course, are you still drawing? They'd go, no. But I want to get back into it. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's just like, but that's too late, you know? Like, it's like anything. Like, yeah, you might have been the best dancer when you were fucking 9.
Right.
But, you know, if you don't do it, like, yeah, that kid who was not as good as you but kept at it, it's going to be better than you, you know, in 10 years or whatever. Like,
you're not like, as creatively limber.
Yeah, like talent is like a small portion. Like hard work is like the fucking thing. You know,
yeah,
like hard,
dedication.
Yeah. Like talent is probably like I'd say like, you know, I don't know, whatever, 20% of it. You know, and the other 80% is like just being fucking dedicated to like doing it. Just do it. Just show up and fucking do it. You know?
It seems like 90% of it is talking to the right people. Is what it seems like, knowing people.
Oh, well,
I don't think talent or dedication is like 5%.
When you want to get into a place, yeah, none of that matters. Yeah, none of that matters. If you're talking about like trying to get a show at like a dope place, yeah, none of that matters. You have to know the right person.
Yeah.
You have to know the right person for sure. That's where art school is like a good place.
Yeah, for networking.
For those connections and networking, yeah.
Yeah, did you go to art school, Amador?
I didn't go to art school, and I like dwelled on not going to art school for years and years. And everyone I talked to, who had gone to art school, would tell me the same thing. They'd go like, "You don't need to go to art school; it's pointless." I went, you know, I just went for connections. I just went for that. But it's like it's easier to say it after you've gone, and it's a waste of time than like the person who didn't go at all doesn't know whether it's a waste of time. So it's like, it's tough. I never went. I mean, there's plenty of times I could have fucking went, but it's like, you know, just kind of kept moving it. And, you know, I don't know. I'm almost 40 now. And I think I've done okay. I don't
know. Yeah. And again, you know, like art school, there's like, you know, like the cream rises to the top. It's like, you got to come in there with talent or the ambition to move forward, you know.
Yeah.
Like there are people think they can go to art school and learn how to paint or draw, but if you're not just grinding on your own, you know, there's
I mean, I always considered Broadway like that art school of like that almost like, you know. Right. I remember like, do you remember like Michael Garcia coming in and going like, this is exactly what our dorms were like, like what this is.
That's
like
awesome.
Right now, how you guys are.
Like fairly recently.
Was it Turkin?
Yeah. What's that?
Back when you guys were in Broadway in your heyday, were they in there twerking? Like, should I have them twerking? Ooh. Like,
Who's twerking?
Well, that's what I'm like.
What is that?
Twerking wasn't out then.
I don't understand that reference.
Twerking wasn't out then.
No, it was no twerking. That was,
no, it was, though.
No, it was. It was. No, it just wasn't called twerking. It's called
twerking. No, no, yeah. Because you know what? Like, let me educate y'all, right? Facts.
No, that was Bubba. That was no, because that Bubba Sparks joint drop.
No,
you know?
No, Amador. Because I lived in Seattle and the twerk team was popping.
Oh, the twerk team.
Right, yeah, no, it was Miss Twerk something, Lady God, Luscious, dang, and Betty Butt.
Oh, right?
Rest
something?
In peace, Miss Betty Butt. Miss like Twerk.
Rest
something.
In peace. She died.
Yeah, Betty Butt. Yeah.
I like how vague
the irony
is. Just twerk something. Just, it doesn't matter. Just something.
Who knows what she twerks, but yeah. She's dead. R.I.P.
Yeah.
No, Betty Butt was the one.
Betty Butt?
Yeah, Betty Butt?
I never saw anyone twerk in Broadway personally, but okay.
No, there was no twerking. There was a lot of like sad white girls. They weren't twerking.
But yeah. No, yeah.
Sad white. Hold on, back to sad white girls. Hold on. Hold on, wait. We gotta make sure we tapped in.
Yeah, there were twerking.
Shout out to all the ladies with bipolar disorder.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was no twerking. Yeah, yeah. Big up to all them cutters. They weren't twerking, bro.
Yeah, I feel like I've always gotten left out of all the life drawing that happened.
At oh, Broadway. No, no. Anytime, it was always like that. Never, it was always, yeah, never it was always like that. I think the guys who had long-term girlfriends, like we'd go home for like the weekend.
Right.
And then we'd show up and they'd be like, it was fucking crazy, yeah. Man. This and this happened. And we'd be like, what? What? And like this happened and this person showed up and this, and then this band showed up.
Yeah.
Like came, because Tokyo Garden was popping at the time. They'd be like, the band came down the street and like played another set. And yeah. We'd be like, damn, I was just at home, like,
yeah,
watching Lost.
I was watching Titanic.
Yeah, I was watching Titanic with my
girl.
I was watching the OC again.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But it would be interesting to see a mod girl twerk.
Oh, yeah. A what?
Is that possible?
Mod.
Some mod chick mod girl. Twerking.
All these references are...
No, you don't know?
I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know.
Is that a Valley thing?
Twerking or mods are?
Yeah, is that like, yeah, is that like a, is that like a Valley thing?
Can you explain what a mod girl is?
Like that?
Because you don't know.
Like riding Vespas?
I remember.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, right?
I may have made that up. I may have made that up.
Am I wrong?
Griff's gang from Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
You can't be depressed. You can't be depressed and twerk. You can't be depressed.
No, exactly. Right?
That's the thing.
Right?
I don't know, man. I do it quite a bit.
Right? No one depresses twerking. No one
fucking liar.
Twerking. Yeah, you're not twerking.
You're lying.
Just depressed twerkers.
Yeah, there's no depressed twerkers.
Yeah, there are.
Are they?
Yeah.
No.
Think so?
Yeah. No. In Portland.
Mod girls don't.
Been in my house lately.
Portland strip clubs are all depressed twerkers.
There's no twerkers at Portland strip clubs.
I don't know if I've actually ever seen anyone twerk in person.
Whoa.
Yeah. Damn, I don't know. I'm such a fucking
square.
Just on
the videos
he watches. We gotta get you going somewhere.
I'm just a square.
James,
you've never been to a strip club?
I've never been to a strip club in my life.
Oh my.
We know we're going after this.
My wife has, like everybody I know has. And
how
like,
have you not been to a strip club? You were in Portland.
I mean, I've worked next to a strip club, and it just, I don't know, like it felt.
I've been into strip clubs at Portland accidentally.
Right,
like,
I've gone to use
the
place.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I've gone to use the bathroom.
Sure.
And ended up, yeah, it ended
sure.
Up,
sure.
Can you go into the strip club?
No, really.
Yeah.
Portland is
it's like that.
Portland has like strip clubs, like places that don't make any sense.
Right.
Like they just have a strip club. You just walk in and you're like, all right, why is this?
I think if I did go, I would want to do it right. Like I told Laura,
go to Atlanta.
If I go, I want to go in with a couple grand
of ones,
sit at the rack and be able to tip big. And then
there you
leave.
Go. Okay.
Yeah, but you have to go to Atlanta or like
Long
Miami,
maybe Long Beach.
Strip clubs here, like
Portland's huge strip clubs, full nude, live sections, all that shit.
But it's not like
well, yeah, they had that in Seattle. They had the Lusty
Wolf.
You would put the quarter in and then it.
Stop.
Come the fuck on.
Yeah,
pizza. You need to go to a strip club with a little bit of melanin.
That's not a Fresno thing.
Maybe you're right.
Them Portland strip clubs are not going to do it.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
I'll tell you who had the craziest strip clubs, and I mean in a good way, was Nebraska. This chick had a cast on, and she was stripping.
That's my kind of shit right there. That is sad, like, slice of life, Todd Solondz kind of shit. Yeah. Like, that's pitch black humor.
That is crazy.
Yeah. C-section scar, broken leg. There you go. Yeah, I'm about that.
Damn.
See, now, I feel like I can feel at home there.
There you go.
That's one way to get tipped big.
Yeah, you're like
showing up with a cast.
Yeah.
Like, someone's
bad. She's like, hold on. Like, no, that's all right. Fine.
No, it was on her arm, so she could still dance.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think I've always felt like it's sort of the equivalent of, like, watching porn with your friends. Like, what's the point? You know, like, if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to get it done.
You got to go to the champagne room.
Well, paying someone to act like they like me as well. Like, no one likes me, and I don't want to pay for it. Like, no. I don't want to pay for someone
to
act like
it. But you do.
No, I don't.
You want to pay for it.
And it does happen in the champagne room. Yeah, Amador, stop capping. It does.
It does happen in the champagne
room.
This motherfucker.
Not that I know. Like, he knows something I don't. Maybe I've missed out on a huge.
You do want to pay people to pretend to like you. It's awesome.
Okay.
So we're hitting the ATM after we wrap it up here.
We're going to wrap it up.
Where are we going
to
go?
We're going to go to Gold Diggers.
I don't know, Gold Diggers.
Nah,
how did he name off the closest spot?
I'm out of the
loop. I went there during the pandemic.
He's just joking.
Nah, it was open. I went.
Is it still open?
I went, yeah.
Oh, shit. How was it?
Last night? Was it good? Last night? What was the lineup last night?
It was last night. It was like last year.
Sunday.
Damn.
You know, and it was.
Is the lights still open?
I think so.
There's one way to find out.
Somebody said like,
yeah, you just can't be like
but
a burlesque
they,
show.
You know,
like,
yeah, I mean, no, you know what? No. Gold Diggers had the bar outside. You just couldn't drink inside, and then you would get drunk and then go inside.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I've been through and bachelor parties and just, you know, growing up just for fun. Like, it's just a thing. And certain groups of friends would do it more often than others, but like the thing is, like, it's innocent fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it, whatever the smut deal is, but like Hooters and stuff like that to me is way worse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're
dude,
trying to
make that
family. You were there last night. You were at Hooters last night.
I went there like a few years ago, and this dude had his daughter there. Just like,
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't. It's just
like,
it's just an odd thing.
I was like, nah, bro.
It's a weird sort of liminal space between like sex worker and not, because I've never been to one, but it seems like they're objectifying the workers there. But you shouldn't, right? Like, at least at a strip club, you know exactly what you're there for.
Right.
The dancer knows exactly what she's there for, and it's transactional.
There's no, yeah,
what's
there's
going
no, like,
well,
that. There's
and
no
the,
gray
the,
area,
the
like.
Weirdo thing about Hooters, though, here's like the weird, and whoever came up with this policy is a fucking pervert. All the waitresses have to talk to you, and they sign a napkin. Like, so you have a napkin at the end.
That's
like, with
just
all of these, like, wait, like, they all have to talk to every customer.
Wow.
Well,
that seems like an odd thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, because I remember asking, when I was like, why are y'all all talk? Like, chicks don't fuck with me like that. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, no, we have to do this. I was like, oh, okay.
Did they sign it upside down like Macaroni
and
Grill?
Like, so
or
when
it,
you notice, like, when you next, crayon? If you ever go to Hooters, like, they'll come talk
sometimes
to you.
Sometimes triple if you're lucky.
In Fresno?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, River Park.
I used to draw. Did you not draw there all the time? You fucking went, we just went nuts.
I went to one. I went to that one.
Right.
Hooters closed down.
Okay. I went to, because they had wings.
That's normal.
You care, man.
That's normal.
You want to go. I'm taking you to Hooters tomorrow.
Hey, but you know what's crazy? He never been to a strip club. He never been to Hooters, man.
No, I believe
Jay,
it.
We got.
Well, the night's young, Jason.
Nah,
yeah. Come back.
Don't,
we didn't mean to scare you off.
Would kill us. No, hey. Nigga. We are not.
No, Laura would be so cool.
No, I'm kidding.
We are
kidding.
Not.
No, she'd be.
Yeah,
she's
no, I'm
super
kidding,
cool.
Kidding.
But I'll call and ask for permission. Laura, is it okay? I'll send her a text message right now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
got that ATM fee on there, $16 to get a couple of bucks out.
What'd you do last night? $500.
Yeah, what did? Yeah,
what the podcast cost?
Kids are getting Christmas gifts this year.
Yeah, James is charging us to show podcast.
James, yeah, right. James is charging us. Fee. It's the podcast fee.
Come up, man.
The podcast fee.
Yeah,
good stuff. Okay, so it's 11 o'clock at night. We've been recording for an hour and 37 minutes.
I got a text from the boss saying, "Am I gonna clock in tonight?"
Oh, is that right?
And, but yeah, my boss is Josh Wigger right now.
Oh, really?
And he says, "Hey, I'm heading over." Yeah.
Oh.
10:30. He said, "Are you gonna come by and work?"
What does that even mean?
The mural at
the mural.
Sun Stereo. Yeah.
That's what happens when you have Josh Wigger as your boss.
Right.
Oh, y'all going? So is that
should we just all go over there?
We should all just go over there.
We'll just blast the spot.
Yeah.
What we'll do is pack up, drop everything at You know, I think we'll just drop everything off. Yeah. That's a little thing you can use.
Is it Tuesday?
Mm-hmm, yep. 11:15 on Tuesday.
I gotta call in my jury duty. I've been summoned for jury duty this week.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. How you guys feel about that? You ever actually been on trial?
Like, no, never.
Like as the juror?
I've never been on actual trial.
No.
One time I made it into the court, and then they dismissed us during lunch. Another time I showed up and I had to watch a documentary about Fresno for like probably about 2 hours, but it was like a 3-hour documentary.
Huh.
And we didn't get to watch that last hour.
Oh, damn.
They were like, you guys are dismissed.
Yeah, my Uber driver. Did you stay in there
like
that?
No, I was like, I want to, because it was really interesting. It was very interesting, you know.
Right.
And I wanted to finish it up, but they were like, right. You're done. You're good. You guys are good. You can go.
I never have. See, these are the benefits of having two felonies on your record.
My nigga's got S on a jacket. Yeah. Hey, Amador, what are your two favorite action figures that you've painted? Like, as far as not what you did to the figure, the actual figure itself.
I've painted a lot of like custom figures lately, like custom like mashups, and those things are fun. Like some of the unreleased figures.
I saw you did that foot soldier.
Foot soldier's dope. I did a Chewbacca that was like a Chewbacca Mikey mashup that was like an unreleased figure. Like it was unreleased in the 90s, but then they got the guy that I work with got the actual sculptor who got that sculpt canceled. He re-sculpted it and then like redid it. They 3D printed it and then sent it to me and I repainted it. And like those are fucking fun. You know, like I've gotten a lot of
the surface like, good on that? Like I mean 3D printed, like
it is. With the 3D printing it just depends. Like there's some high quality machines that can print some really nice quality. So those are, you know, they print pretty good. Like it's not like how it was where like things were like globby and look kind of ugly. Like they can 3D print some. Really,
oh no, them 3D printed Berettas is crazy.
Yeah, it just depends on like how much you spend on your 3D printer. Like you can get like a really nice quality on that shit. Yeah.
Right,
that was good.
Wigger just hit him up, and we're gonna go see him at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The boss called, man. He said,
"Are you gonna start your shift?" No.
Look what happens when Robert comes around. We get to see all the big wigs.
I know. Yeah.
Well, all the cool guys.
Well.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's just what happens, man. I don't know what to say.
How you guys feel about Neuralink?
Neuralink? I'm not familiar with
Neuralink. The shit Elon Musk came out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the fucking shit that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I feel anything about Neuralink.
I mean, people are, you know...
How do you guys feel about AI art?
We're just talking about that.
Were you guys
about
that?
Here's the thing.
Pretty creepy.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that website? There's like a website where you can look up and see if your art has been trained within the AI space. Like, has your art been thrown into the AI space? Because when they built the AI generator,
they stole,
so there's a website where you can throw in your art and see if your art was part of the art that was used to build this generator.
Huh.
And there's a lot of artists that have typed it in, got in there and gone, and your art was part of the art that
you
got
to read the terms and conditions. You post that shit online, like, it no longer
belongs to you.
I'd be like, okay, now I want a Amador Graham robot eating a taco in a dance hall.
Yeah, that would be all right.
Yeah, some of that stuff's pretty cool, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not threatened by it. I feel like anything that's bad, it's gonna fucking fade away.
I think it's interesting,
right?
It is
the like really horrific sort of surrealist stuff that's come out of just a couple words, like that uncanny valley sort of feeling of some of the stuff is. Real fucking creepy. I feel like it would be a good basis for a horror film.
I've seen a few that were like they throw in like Ghostbusters, like they throw in like the whole Ghostbusters cast into it, and like done like these alternate takes of like the Ghostbusters film with these, but they're so fucking weird and they're so like grotesque that I love. I think they're right. So cool yeah. looking. Like I would love to have like an art book of like alternate like AI art,
yeah.
like Ghostbuster shit. Like I mean, it looks so fucking cool.
AI art is
but I'm not. Rad. I mean, I'm not threatened by it. I don't know.
I mean, I guess I haven't thought enough about it to feel threatened.
No,
but
well, AI art. It's like it's
I also
never.
Just don't care.
Yeah.
See, that's big art dick energy.
Yeah, he's like, you can't get AI tattoos, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
The dude who taught me, his name was Rio. He passed away now, but he was an old-timer, old-school tattooer. And that was one thing, one of the last things he said was, you know, this is one thing about tattooing. It can never be computerized.
Substituted.
And... you know, I mean, who knows? We might get into a idiocracy sort of situation where you stick your arm in a machine and it puts a barcode on you, but I don't think it ever can be fully automated or computerized.
Not at all, yeah.
No.
No.
Not sure
what
you
do can, obviously.
No.
You do.
No, it can't.
No do.
If I were you, I'd feel threatened
no
if
do.
I were you.
Yeah, hey, Robert's like, yo, it would already been done.
Hell
you see
no.
this?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah right?
You see, man, let's go. Okay, so yeah, we're about we should like wrap up and stuff, and that way we can go and do things. So you guys got any shout outs you want to give?
You got shout outs? Fuck, I don't know, man. Shout out to like
your kids.
Jeez. Shout out to my kids holding it down at home asleep. No, I don't know. Fucking shout out to like, you know what, I felt bad because I realized that the last time I gave shoutouts, I missed Nigel, and he was one of the OG Broadway boys, and like I felt bad. Nigel, fucking shout out to Nigel for being one of the OG boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shout out to all the OG Broadway boys and all the new ones that hold it down, like Vickin. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I would shout out as far as like new ones, but it's like Vickin and James. Other new ones it'd probably be mad if I.
But. I mean, Josh and I were talking 2 nights ago, and we were talking about the old days of Broadway and just how well. Because I was like, I only stayed at Broadway for a little while because James and Vic are really rad, and I liked being there and hanging out with them, and I kind of had that old feeling of like being inspired and all of that. And Josh was like, "Yeah, they would have fit right in with the old Broadway crew. They are Broadway crew. That's it, right there." And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, they are.
I can see
like a group photo of back in the day,
right?
With these two in it, where it would fit perfectly.
Photoshop
it. Yeah, Photoshop them into. We have one that's like one photo that's really fucking great, and I've always wanted like a copy of it. Reza has one. I think maybe Vicenta has one, where it's like all the OG Broadway boys, and it was like one of those like. Like a winter night, like we were all fucking hanging out, and just like somebody had a camera and took a fucking awesome photo, and like we're all in that.
Yeah,
this photo
was before cell phones, so someone had to have a 35mm camera.
Someone had to develop this photo. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, it's funny. Like I always think about like we were obviously like pre iPhone, pre like you know full on smartphone. But I remember you were like one of the people who was like, I was like, I'm gonna be the last one. I'm not getting a smartphone. Fuck this shit. I'm never getting a fucking smartphone. And it was cool. Like we did all hold out for a very long time. Like
I was the same way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like we all held out for a long time until it became
totally necessary. We missed out on a lot.
Yeah,
we
life
did.
Could have been so much better. Yeah.
I know. We did. You know, I jumped back and forth with like. Should we have documented everything?
Yeah, totally.
But then,
we should have. Yeah.
But I also kind of go like, I enjoyed it so much because we didn't. We just fucking lived it and didn't like document
it.
And
now no one remembers.
And no one remembers. And we all have Alzheimer's because of smoking fucking sock weed out of aluminum foil pipes.
Yeah,
that's healthy.
Everyone's fucked up. Yeah.
I mean, I was doing better drugs than that back then, but whatever.
Well, not you, but like you know, the old heads.
I've always
doing any drugs. I was just drinking coffee.
Straight edge. Look at you. Still
look at me now.
Straight edge.
Still straight edge.
Still straight edge.
Here
good
I am.
For you.
Here I am.
All right, Lemmy, Jason, you got any shout outs? Y'all, this is going forever.
Shout out to Facebook.
Hey, no Facebook. Shout out to
MySpace.
Shout out to MySpace giving my computer fucking AIDS every time I try to open someone's page because they got like way too much shit to load.
Remember making the MySpace, like how you could customize the music and then they had the little editors and everything?
Yep. Shit, I remember recording songs off of the radio to like, you know, for your voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's real.
That Def Leppard, Sugar on Me.
Wow,
that's the Keith Sweat. Keith Sweat on it.
I wanna go outside in the rain.
Do 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 do. Okay, Jason, shout out.
Shout out to Tiago Sequoia for getting me fucking hammered.
Right.
Dude. Yeah.
Good job, Tiago.
Hammered.
Good job, Tiago.
There we go.
Right.
Shout out. I don't know. Shout out to my dogs, the only people I like.
Damn. People I like.
Except you guys are all right.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are cool. Right. Thanks, man.
Laura doesn't care.
Your wife.
She's not going to watch this.
No, she's not going to.
Never.
No. Right. No. Laura, man. Shouts to Laura Graham.
They're like phone to like someone's old CD player. And you know how like the last thing listen to like connects like through Bluetooth to like the old time, like, you know, the face of the CD player, but the last song they played was just said X Videos.
Okay, making you guys shout-outs.
Off the top of my head, I would like to start off by giving our cameraman a shout out for being
shout
so patient, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. You've been like super patient dealing with four jackasses. Amador, Jason, James, of course. And I want to shout out everyone in this show because there was a question James asked me in our last podcast was like, there's like, you know, five people you want to play poker with or, you know, have an art show with. And it was like dealing with people who are local in the valley and that are here and grinding right now. So I'm really proud to be a part of this show. And if you could, please come by, check it out. You don't have to buy anything. Just support by just coming and checking stuff out. There's a lot of really cool work. And I appreciate you doing what you do for the valley as well. Coming here and standing, posting up for everyone in the show as well. So yeah, man, thank you guys for having me be a part of this.
Yeah. Thanks guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, you know, it's all, man, it's family. You could be anywhere on the internet, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that. Catch us again next week, same BS time, same BS channel. Once again, this is some shit I just thought of y'all. Scientific fiction is not admissible in no court of law. I'm out of here like Vladimir. James drills over and out. I told you from the dough. I told you from the get-go. You don't got to go home, but you got to go.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.